We're going to look at Luke's Gospel this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 2. And as you turn there, I need to confess that I've been playing carols. And honestly, your faces, when you looked up, you went, oh my goodness, what's the pastor done? I've been singing carols. And I have absolutely loved singing some of these old, amazingly lasting treasures that we have as God's people, that other people in generations gone by have written such words about the birth of Jesus Christ and his salvation. And I remember when I first came to Christ many years ago now, when I first was born again, the first Christmas that I sang the carols, I literally, it was like my heart was going to leap out my body. I felt such a joy that the songs I'd sung as a child for many years suddenly meant everything to me. And we hear carols and still being played in our shops and I don't know, maybe a few restaurants even as Christmas begins. And it's not a holiday, happy holidays. We're not going American, we're Christians. Happy Christmas. Yeah. Amen. Have a great holiday, but happy Christmas because of Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And I pray this morning that God will do what he wants to do in your heart tonight, this morning, I am awake, that your heart would explode with love for Jesus. Because we're going to look at a little bit of the Christmas story and read a few verses. And I'm trusting the Lord to work something fresh in all of our hearts of love for Jesus and the amazing gift that he is to us all. Verse 8, we're going to look at chapter 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And I want to bring a message this morning just from those few verses that the angels praise God with. There was a multitude, and it speaks of these armies of heaven praising God and saying these simple words that are not too difficult to understand. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And they were announcing the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. The good news for all, the birth of Jesus Christ. And he came in a place no one would expect. And honestly, he came in a way no one would have expected. And it wouldn't matter how many times you heard the prophecies, I think you still would have been shocked to see this baby, this tiny baby in a manger, being described by the angels as the Christ, the Lord, and the Savior of the whole world. And I love what they announced. They were announcing really this day of good news, a day of peace on earth. And we see and we know that the perfect one came into an imperfect world. And how our world, even today, it's full of sin, it's broken, there's misery everywhere, there's bad news everywhere. And still Jesus lives in our hearts amongst us today as the good news of all good news, as the best gift that any human being could ever receive. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. Now, first we're going to look at glory to God in the highest. We're going to do this in 1, 2, 3. Glory to God in the highest, then we're going to look at the peace on earth, and then we're going to look at goodwill towards men. Jesus' birth gives glory to God. That's what the angels sang. Now, the angels are made by God to worship him and to be messengers, but also to minister to the heirs of salvation. And very often you will see angels appear in key times in people's lives or ministries. In the life of Jesus, in his birth and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they strengthened him. They came and ministered to him. And it's the same that the heirs of salvation, that's you and I, we actually have angels assigned to help us, to strengthen us, and to protect us. But this angel came to announce this glory to God in the highest. Now, angels also, if you think about it, spend their time around the throne worshipping the one they see as the Lord of heaven, the Lord of all glory, the Lord who is surrounded in inapproachable light. And so they see him continuously, and they're sent from his presence to do his word. Whatever God says, they rush out to fulfill what God wants to do on the earth. They execute his will. But the angels were also there when God created the planets. He created the stars. He created the moon that we see and the sun that we see. He created the earth. All the things that are made, seen and unseen, were made by Jesus, by the word of God. And so when the creation had taken place, it says in the book of Proverbs that the angels sang at the dawn of creation. And so angels expressed worship when God created everything. And it's the same with us. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. When we see creation, it moves us to know the one who created everything that is beautiful and is good. And so the angels sing over creation. But in this particular time, I think they were singing to the max. Because they could not believe this Lord left the throne. This great, the greatest one that there is, this awesome God, should leave his throne and take on the form of a human and become a baby. And when they announced his birth in Bethlehem, all they could do was say, glory to God in the highest. Because they knew what this meant for humankind. They knew what it would mean for every generation. They knew it would mean everything to those who ever lived, that God had come to save people through this gift of his one and only Son. And they looked in awe. They marveled at this perfect one who was willing to become a baby, dependent on human parents, needing to eat just as a baby needs to eat. This Lord of glory, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And so they sang glory to God in the highest. I think this is the first Christmas carol. They announced that salvation is all of God. It's God's work. It's glorious, and it's nothing of man. Man cannot work the work of salvation, but God gave his Son to give us salvation through faith in him. What humility. Just think of it in wonder. Think of it. This God became a baby. Think of it. And be reminded with thanksgiving that God himself loves us so much, the perfect one came into our imperfect world to save us from our sins. What a wonder. And what a response of praise should come from our hearts when we realize the sacrifice that he made to come. They then announced a new day, peace on earth. You see, there'd not been peace since the garden, since the beginning of the creation of the earth, the world, since Adam, made into the image of God, male and female, God made man and woman. He placed them in the Garden of Eden, and everything that he made was good. And I trust I don't need to convince you that everything God does is good. There is nothing that he does is bad. He would never spoil anything. But Satan was in the garden, and he came and whispered into the ear of Eve. Adam agreed and sinned, and mankind fell into darkness and sin. And at that moment began every problem that anything that you look at on earth is the result of. It began at that moment. Sin entered, death through sin, disease, sickness, misery, depression, hate, murder, separation from God, rebellion against God, people, problems in relationships, one to another, brothers killing brothers, hating, all the awful things began through someone sinning. And scripture says we were all born in Adam, which means our roots, our inheritance really, when we are first born as children, comes from Adam, which means we're born in sin. Not one of us is born perfect. We're all born with a problem. Even though they look absolutely beautiful, every child that is ever born makes you want to sing for joy. And yet there is a sin nature on the inside of every person ever born. But God announces a new day. And this is the announcement. Peace has come on earth through Jesus. Satan, who has done all that he could to destroy, is now going to be beaten, driven out, destroyed through the work of Jesus. Our enemy of Satan and sin and death, broken. And Jesus has come to bring peace. Peace with God through faith, simply trusting in him. So the Prince of Peace, one of his names. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful king. Prince of Peace. He enters a chaotic world to bring peace between man and God. Now, because Jesus has arrived, the kingdom of heaven is here. And heaven is a place of peace. And because Jesus has come, we can all have peace. I don't think we really, as Pastor Andrea said, unpack Jesus enough. If we really think that we have peace with God through forgiveness of sins, through the cross, we will marvel and be continuously grateful. You know, I have been forgiven my sins. Do you know what that means? It means I've been reconciled with God and I'm not going to hell. It would be enough for me that I'm not going to hell to thank God all my life for Jesus. It's enough for me. I'm not going to eternal damnation. Jesus has saved me from hell. But he's rescued me for heaven and to live abundant life on earth. Heaven's rule of peace came through that tiny baby. peace bringer, the peace giver. It's the end of enmity against God. Sinners are at enmity. They're enemies of God. And Jesus comes, and you know the song, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. It's the end of death, eternal separation from God. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hallelujah. The Prince of Peace has come. This is why he came. Which is why we celebrate his incarnation. God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is the only place to find peace. There is nowhere else to go. There is no one else who can give us peace. Only Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace, can give us peace in our hearts and in our souls and in our bodies and in our relationships. Yesterday, Sandra, who's not with us this morning, is at a funeral in Northern Ireland, and her uncle died a few days ago. And she told me that he had written something for his funeral, which I'd quite like to do. So I'm trusting the Lord to have the time where I can write something for my own celebration that I'm in glory. He wrote about being so thankful for his wife, wonderful children, grandchildren, thankful for his life. But in it, and the church was full of people who don't know the Lord, he wrote down so clearly, he said, "Most of all, I want to thank God for Jesus because I'm about to meet God and I'm confident because of Jesus. I am at peace with my God." It's because of Jesus we don't have to fear punishment, because he is our peace. Peace isn't a thing, it's a person. And if you have Jesus through faith living in your heart, you're born again, you have peace with God. And so, when it comes your turn to go and leave your earthly body, I trust you won't go early. I trust you'll go in full time. Good old age. That you'll live long and finish strong. But with your last breath, I have peace with God through faith in Jesus. Forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is why he came. I know it's a simple message, but it is the gospel, the good news that the angels announced. What a gift. Another line in this world of sin where meek hearts will receive him. Still, the dear Christ enters in. We love Christmas because we love Jesus. Christmas is about celebrating Jesus. You know, if you're bar humbug, stop it. Just love Jesus. Give thanks to Jesus because he's the reason for the season. He's the reason for our joy. He's the reason for our peace. So don't throw a bucket of water on it. Bring praise and thanksgiving out of your life because Jesus is our peace. But not only do we have peace with God through the blood of his cross, his sacrifice, we also have the peace of God. Two different things. Peace with God and the peace of God. And the Bible tells us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. In other words, Jesus has come to be king, to reign, And he wants his peace to reign in you, within yourself. Now, his presence living in us, his spirit dwelling on the inside of every person that has accepted Jesus, means that we have the Prince of Peace already. Which means we are never without peace. Because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And if peace is a person, it's his presence. We always have peace in our hearts. But we need to let his peace rule. That's a very different thing, isn't it? It's a proactive faith thing. I need to let his peace govern me. Reign in my heart, my mind, and my soul. I'm not to let anxiety rule me. I'm not to let fear rule me. I'm to let his peace rule my life. We've just come back from an amazing, and I just do believe it's been one of the best times ever of ministry in Italy. And there was a young man, married, two children, pretty up there job. You know, he's very responsible in his work, but he's also part of the leadership team in the church out there. And my goodness me, we talked to him before we ministered, and I've never known anybody. I must say, he was so stressed. And I kept patting on the shoulder saying, hey, it's okay. Thinking, this man is like a pressure cooker. That when the steam comes out, you know, you're not supposed to be living like, you know, when you cook your ham at Christmas, you put your ham in and you want it done quickly. Well, my mum used to do it this way because she wanted everything done quick, a bit like me. And the pressure cooker was there and the steam was coming out. And I was like, hey. And I said, hey, it's okay. Don't let life do this to you. I don't mean Jesus the life. I mean your circumstances, whatever's going on. And he could only see problems everywhere. And he couldn't deal with life. He was failing in his relationships. And he's such a good father and a great husband. He's a real man of God. But he was failing. And you could feel the tension with his kids and his wife. I mean, I've never known them scratch. This rear so scratchy. And it was this, and everywhere he walked, I thought of this pressure. Wherever he went, it was. So if you said something to him that wasn't quite what he wanted to hear, bah, he'd bite you. And he's just not normally like that. And we were really concerned for this guy. And he said, I'm just not sleeping. I can't remember the last time I had a good night's sleep. We were like, God wants us to sleep. Tell somebody next to you, God wants you to sleep. In the right time, not during the day, just at night. And not, by the way, the plan isn't to sleep all Christmas while somebody else does the work. There will be no peace on earth with that one. But there we are. He was absolutely not sleeping and getting sick because of the stress and the pressure. And we were looking at his life thinking, well, it's normal. Normal people can cope. But don't you know when you look at some people, it's normal for you. You could cope with it. But you look at somebody else, they're just not coping. They need help. And so we started to pray. And I just want to thank God for his miracle working peace. If the Prince of Peace lives in us, which he does, we can receive his peace at any moment. At any moment. Through faith. It doesn't come any other channel. It doesn't come through feelings. It comes through trusting. And during the ministry time, after the word, you know, he went off on his own, and I just said, just go and pray through this. And he decided to just go and be on his own and pray, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he told Pastor Andrea, because she went over to talk to him and minister to him and to finish off really what some things that God had already done. And she told her, he told her, this is the first time I've experienced peace for as long as I can remember. And it, in one way, it broke my heart that a child of God is living something less than what Jesus has provided. But in another way, it made me rejoice to think. And he went home, slept like a baby. I had a phone call yesterday. He's a completely changed man. He's changed in his relationships in the church, in his family primarily. It all begins at home, doesn't it? It all begins at home. If you're going to live it anywhere, you live it at home where peace reigns. And He's light as a feather, and he's just got faith. Through faith, he's got peace. Let the peace of God rule. Isn't Christmas a lot more than presents? It's all about Jesus and living in his peace. Peace with God and the peace of God filling us. So that the pressure's off. No shh, boiling over. Peaceful. Sons of peace. Peacemakers. Who God's Spirit will work through. Does the peace of God change you? Or is it just a theory? Is it just something that you know is a fact, or are you living? Aren't they two different things? Anybody? Or have you all gone to sleep because it's so much peace filling the room? Ah, what a simple word from the angels, but what a simple word from God, because it actually came from God. Prince of Peace, peace on earth, the peace with God and peace of God. Stop being stressed. Live in peace. Let the peace of God reign. And when you are and at pressure points, give those things to Jesus and trust him. Trust him with what you can't do. God can solve messes. Do you know the biggest messes he can solve? This last week in Italy, I have seen messes become beautiful. Can't God do that? A mess becomes absolutely amazing. God is able. Say, God is able. I'm going to trust him and live in peace. Okay, finally, goodwill towards all people, all men, all mankind. God's intention is goodwill. Some people say, I never feel the love of God. I don't actually experience his love. And I know we sing, his love is so amazing. It was wonderful to sing that this morning. But I want to feel his love. But let me tell you the secret of knowing that God loves you is the proof that he gave his son. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is the proof that God loves you. There's no greater proof. He shows that he is kind. His kindness is expressed through Jesus. What a wonderful Jesus. What a wonderful God. If you want to know the love of God, you need to believe he's already proved it. And never live doubting that God is love. And he has got nothing but kindness planned for you. Nothing but good plans. Nothing but thoughts of peace towards you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, and give you a hope and a future. You know, the devil always plans to destroy. He's got plans to make life a misery. He's got plans to lead us up a garden path where all we get is hurt and failure. God has a plan to lead us into blessing if we will follow and listen to his voice. God's plans are to do us good. God doesn't give to us, and this is what is so amazing about Jesus coming as a tiny baby. God doesn't give to us because we're good. You know that awful song? You better be good for goodness sake. Or the statement, Mummy and Daddy won't give you a present unless you're good. I know we don't believe in Santa, but round the tree in the morning, there'll be nothing round there unless you're really good. And I love God so much. This is what really affects me about God giving his son. Whilst I was still a sinner, he gave. Whilst I was totally bad, God is good. And God doesn't give because we're good. Listen to this. He gives because he's good. He gives because he's good. You can expect generosity from the Lord because he is good. He's a good father. And he's without shadow of turning. He doesn't change. And he's only got good and perfect gifts for your life. He took the punishment. Isn't that enough to prove that God loves us and wants to do us good? He took the judgment for sin. He took the curse, the suffering, the horror of sin and Satan and darkness and separation from God. He did it all because he's good. He did it all because he loves. And he did it all because he's kind. Peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind through the gift of this wonderful, perfect baby. He did it so we could live and have abundant life. Jesus came. He said, I have come that you may have life and life in all its fullness. That's why he came. Not to make you miserable, not to make you down, but to make you live in all the fullness of God himself. Jesus is the life. As far as it's possible then, as we look through to this celebrating Christmas season, celebrating Jesus, aren't we to sing a whole lot more? Put some carols on. I know some of you say, well, I don't sing very much and I don't like music. Well, glory to God in the highest. Angels from the realms of glory, sing it. Go on, get going. Sing the new ones as well as the old, because they're so full of revelation, and you will have a merry Christmas. So sing a lot. Sing a lot. Turn it up. Sandra's away. I loved it. I mean, I ramped it up. Those carols are ramped up. I'm going screaming around the house and saying, it's because she's away. Not because, there we go, peace on earth, yes. Peace on earth. It's such a joyful thing to celebrate Jesus and the gift of Jesus. And I know that this is a simple message this morning, but it's powerful because he is the one we're singing about. And then as far as it's possible with you, Romans tells us, live at peace with all men. I love the way Scripture puts that, because sometimes it isn't possible. When Uncle Fred arrives and he's pretty nasty and grumpy and he just sits there and moans and it's just, you know, wants to really be a party pooper, I'm going to say. Just wants to destroy your party. the celebration. Do you know what? As far as it's possible with you, be at peace. So don't let that bother you. Let the peace of God rule. Hello? Do you want a happy Christmas? Let the peace of God rule when somebody else is grumpy, right? This is the secret to living in the life. And forgive him. And say, hey, put a hat on, you'll look better. But if he refuses, say, never mind, let's celebrate Christmas together. So try, as you can't always convert everybody to celebration, can you? You can't always be at peace. You know, in your family, there may be long-term issues going on, relational issues. Is anybody going to face long-term relational issues with their family this Christmas? I think a lot of people do. But make up, don't break up. Do whatever you can to bridge the gap, to make peace, to reconcile relationships. Forgive. That's the only gift, really, that the Lord wants you to really give out freely. Give and forgive. Because you'll need to. You'll need to when somebody cuts you up and takes your parking space. You'll need to when you're pushed out of the queue. That can get me. I can lose my peace. But what do I need to do? Let the peace of God reign. Somebody nicked the last turkey. Let the peace of God reign. Whatever it is for you, let the peace of God reign. Don't let that wonderful Prince of Peace not be who he is in and through you. If you've had money issues with someone this year, or even years ago, somebody might have taken your inheritance. That's not an easy one, is it? Maybe they took your money. Bury the hatchet. Extend the mercy and forgiveness of God. It doesn't make what they did right, but it makes you right with God. Be a peacemaker. Tell somebody next to you, I'm going to be a peacemaker this Christmas. Let the peace of God rule in your conscience. Ooh, don't watch stuff. I was watching something just two nights ago, and it started really good. Do you know how films, movies can actually start good, something on the TV, and then it gets into sin, adultery, all kinds of language and sexual innotations, and I just was like, I'm off. Because I want to live in the peace of God. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by what I'm looking at. If you have harsh words and you are angry, quickly deal with your own conscience, because the Holy Spirit in you will be saying, get it right, so that you can live in peace and have a Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. And one more thing. Goodwill to all. Bless somebody. In fact, bless everybody. Whoever you can bless, bless. Freely you have received, freely give. Be a giver. Don't be a taker this Christmas. God's goodwill is to bless. That means to do us good. Who can you bless at work? Who can you do good to that lives around you? What mum is so stressed, pressure cooker moments, where you could lift the weight and say, let me help you. Is there anything that you can do to do someone good? Do it. Because you are expressing the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And another thing, just to finish, there are many people that are alone this Christmas. And I'm not saying in a mad, frantic, I better do. It's not law. We need to operate out of grace and about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But do what you can for those who are on their own. Think, Jesus came so that we can do good to others and not just celebrate ourselves, but to release Jesus in celebrating him and sharing him with other people. What a wonderful gift. This Prince of Peace, this perfect one. And if I think he came to make me perfect, to make me full of peace, and to do me good, what else can I do but sing? Glory to God in the highest. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.